Hi, I'm your host, Anthony Giorgio, and you're listening to another episode of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. All right. Hello, everybody. I'm super excited. I am in Vernon, New Jersey today with
Rebecca
and Rebecca's mom,
Jamie.
You might have to move a little closer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Perfect. Jamie and Rebecca. And I'm actually, normally I would introduce the idea of what we're doing today, but I just want Jamie and Rebecca to tell us why I'm here and what you do actually. What do you do in your life, Rebecca? And first, actually, before I do that, how do you identify?
I identify as a girl, and I use she, her pronouns.
Perfect. And how do you identify?
I identify as a... well, hold on a second. Can I pause for a question?
I'll just set it.
Okay. You just want, like, gender and pronouns?
Yeah,
you can do
both.
Sexuality? Do you want...
You can do identity as far as pronouns and gender. That's up to you. I usually leave that open.
Okay.
Because people only want to share what they want.
That's what I was like. Okay.
Yeah.
I identify as female, and my pronouns are she and her.
Perfect. Awesome. All right. The person I'm speaking with, though, in regards to this podcast specifically today is Rebecca. By the way, I like the way you spell it. It's different, so I like that. Just explain to everybody, you know, what you have been doing in your life. Your journey is basically okay. What we're getting into.
So I am transgender, and I transitioned when I was 8 years old. My family and everyone was very supportive of me, and I didn't really have any pushback in my community. Right now, me and my mom, we are advocating for trans rights and all LGBTQ rights.
Which is very cool, which is why I did a little bit of my research inside of that. How long have you been, thank you, I was just going to actually say that because I can hear it. It was a bottle, folks.
Yep.
How long have you been advocating for LGBT rights in general?
Good question. I've always considered myself an ally, as did my husband, but when you suddenly have a kid, who this is their life at stake, it changes everything and you realize what it actually looks like to be an ally. So, I always say I'm sorry for all those years that I sort of showed up, but didn't really, but we've been actively doing this for, really since she transitioned. So 3.5 years.
3.5 years. Cool. And what are some of the things that you do inside of the work?
I go to protests and rallies to speak. And I also recently went to a GSA to talk to them about what it means to be transgender. And
where was it?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
Carlisle, awesome. Pennsylvania.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was really fun to talk to people my age about things that they already knew about and they were accepting of, and I knew that I could talk about it without thinking that they would not accept it or anything like that.
Right. Was it high school or was it lower?
Middle school.
Middle school. Oh, yeah. Middle school. A middle school GSA?
Yeah.
You know, I've been interviewing a lot of people, and that is, like, something that does not, like, really exist.
Yeah, so there's a couple up in this part of the state, and I would love to see one in our school, but we don't have one. Our high school actually just got a GSA, so we're really excited about that. Well, maybe, like, 2 years ago at this point.
Okay.
But I've been surprised to hear across the country there are these pockets of middle school GSAs. And, I mean, the middle of Pennsylvania, they reached out and were like,
that's
hey.
That's why I'm like, yeah. All right.
I was so excited. And so it was really neat to kind of have those kids get to share their story and have Rebecca share hers and their different experiences. And
I have to get the name of that place.
Yeah.
I'm going to get there.
Absolutely.
Because I haven't had that experience yet as far as that's concerned. How many kids were there?
Like 15 to 20.
Okay.
It was a good sized group.
Cool. Yeah. And the advisors was awesome. I mean, yeah. Clearly.
Yeah. They were a neat group. And I was kind of surprised, like, walking in, we weren't sure, like, who these kids were. Were they mostly allies? Were they mostly queer youth? Where were they in their journeys? And these were, like, out and proud kids that experienced a lot of pushback in their life and created this community with the support of their advisors to have a safe space and try to figure out how to make their school a safer place. So it was super inspiring.
Cool. Because you are of the younger age, which is awesome, and this is a big reason why I'm doing this podcast for these age groups, because it's, like, because of places that, like, Middle America specifically, I talk about a lot, because that's, like, one of my biggest things to get to is, like, Kansas and Mississippi and, you know, the harder states to hear the truths and human and try to exist together. What kind of questions come up inside of your talks?
Some questions that people ask, have you experienced any pushback? And I say no. The only kind of pushback I had was when a friend didn't understand and they said it was disgusting. quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But then my mom and I educated them and now they're okay with it. So
cool. Yeah. When it was 8 years old when you came out, mm-hmm. right? Did you come out on your own or did you?
Because
it's different. It's a young age. I mean, listen, I did not experience that. So I'm just
lying. Yeah. My mom, she helped me. She taught me what transgender meant, but then it all sort of clicked together after I learned what it meant and that it was, like, something that other people were. So, yeah, it was a team effort.
Team effort. It's good. It should be a team effort. It's a beautiful effort. That's great. I mean, being so young, I've only spoke to one other young girl, and I have, like, another interview with a younger person. Your age, it seems, because you are so much younger, no one's at that age yet where they, like, have preconceived notions of what something should be. They're just, mm-hmm. like, living their lives, and they don't really care. They're 8 years old, 7 years, whatever it is. Do you think that made it easier?
Kind of. So the year I transitioned, we didn't really plan it, but I was homeschooling, so I didn't really have to talk to people about it in school. So when I went to public school the next year, they all just knew me as Rebecca. They didn't know me as anything else. So that was good. But, like, the people who I still know today, who are from my old school, we taught them, and they're fine with it.
Because you taught them.
Yeah. Yeah, I also think that it's, like, Rebecca was always what gender nonconforming, if we want to put a label on it.
Right.
And she gravitated to, you know, all those typically feminine things. And that had been a pattern for years and years. And so for a lot of people, like, I think it just kind of made sense. They had seen Rebecca evolving into, like, becoming more her true self. And so when she came out and was like, no, this is who I am, they're like, oh, I get it now. Like, and in some ways, that's, like, there's pluses and minuses to that. I always say it's a lot harder to be in that in-between, in that whether you're non-binary or gender non-conforming, because at this point, like, Rebecca kind of fits into that girl box, and so she gets a lot of privilege from that, and people, like, it makes sense. There's none of that cognitive dissonance anymore,
right.
And that worked to her advantage. Not that that's a good thing long-term in society, but.
When she came out, when you came out, were you here or were you someplace else?
We were living
here. You were living
yep.
here already.
Yep.
What was the conversations like with your teachers? Because that's a big thing.
Yeah, so we were homeschooling the year that she actually transitioned. She'd been at this, like, little Montessori
uh-huh.
school, and then we took a year off for other reasons, and then she entered public school as herself.
So you never even had to have that conversation, or did you have the conversation?
she never had the conversation. Her parents got to have the conversation. So, like, we went into the principal. Like, when I went to register for school, I showed up with, like, a packet of information an inch thick. And I was like, I need you to read this, and then I need a meeting. But they were really great, actually. Like, I mean, we did some teaching along the way, but they were really receptive to it. And then the teachers, we explained and talked about who she was. And then they were like, okay, like, they supported her, and it was her story to tell. So she wasn't out at school, but it also wasn't a secret. And then it kind of, you can talk about how it was when, like, you started to tell people.
Yeah. So when I started to tell some of my friends, I chose random times, but, like, times that I thought were good, like, where there wasn't anything else that we were doing. So, and when I told them, they did not believe me. They were like, you're kidding. And I was like, no, I'm not.
Right.
And then, so my mom talked to their parents, or she sent me with a book to school, and I gave it to them, to lend it to them, so they could read it with their parents. So,
what's the name of the book?
That we sent, I Am Jazz, by Jess Jennings and Jessica Herthel.
Cool, I don't know it.
Yep, it's very basic. It's a great, was written by Jess Jennings when she was young, and kind of just shows this very basic transition about who she was and how, what it's like to be trans, I guess.
So I Am Jazz by Jess Jennings.
Yep.
Yeah. So we gave the book to them, and then the next day when they came to school, they were like, I understand now. Like, it all made sense because they accepted it because I think they didn't have a reason to think it was weird or, like, not right. Yeah. So.
Right. There was no room for that.
Yeah.
It was like, books, here's the information.
Books are my favorite for that, for kids and adults, because it is this, what seeing yourself or seeing, like, it just gives this legitimacy and this understanding and this peek and to say, oh, this isn't just made up. This is here in this storybook and I can learn about it. And so they're just a great tool.
Right. No, it is a great tool. So you just went in and that was that. Wasn't, since the teachers knew, was there any kickback?
There wasn't. I think the school was really intentional about putting us with some great teachers, and we did a lot of educating. I think we've been really honest from the very beginning and open about sharing our story and how we got to where we are, and sharing some of the struggle that Rebecca went through before she transitioned, some anxiety and some depression, and to really be like, but look, she's this happy, thriving kid, and so this is how we know this is who she's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And that helps people kind of have the bigger picture.
Or is there a complete weight lifted off your shoulders when you came? Isn't that the best feeling?
Yeah.
Regardless of how you come out or what you're coming out as.
Yeah, it just felt like I had room to be myself, and it was like I knew that I was accepted in my home, and because I was homeschooling, I didn't need to be accepted anywhere else except where I was in my house and with my family.
Jersey itself is just past legislation. Well, it's getting... got the paperwork on the governor's desk to sign off for, you know.
Rebecca testified for that.
I saw that on the Facebook or through Garden State Equality, and I think it's amazing. How was that day, testifying? First of all, I've been in those rooms. It's an intense environment regardless.
Yeah.
But I went for gun things. But what was that like?
So when I testified, it was...
By the way, I'm just going to tell everybody she's 11. Just anyway.
She actually just turned 12.
Oh, my God. Happy birthday.
January 1st.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, well, 12 years old. Well, you were 11 then, so, you know.
Yeah, I was.
Cool. Go talk about that.
So, it was a little scary to be in front of all of these people that I know had, like, they had a big place in the government and what decisions were being made about my school. And
hold on. Just one at that. Mm-hmm. Let's just clarify what it is that you were... testifying.
Yeah, so this was legislation that would create a curriculum that was inclusive of LGBTQ individuals and people with disabilities. So basically when teachers teach history or social studies or other places in the curriculum, they will have to include history about LGBTQ people and people with disabilities.
And then you're in that room. Continue.
Yeah. And there were all these people that I knew had, like, authority. And it was the last bill that was talked about. So there was all this anticipation leading up. And I got to see everybody else talk. And so when I went up, all of the legislators, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
They weren't as harsh as I thought they were, because I thought they were, like, mean people, but they're not.
They just come across authoritative, that's yes. all. That's their job.
Uh-huh. And so when I spoke, I saw their faces, and they were, like, smiling, and they looked like they understood, and after I finished, they all gave their, like, approval, and they all talked to me and told me that it's hard to sit in front of them to talk about something that you need to be passed because it impacts your school life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, those are the people that make the decisions, and you're like, but this will impact thousands of kids and people, humans, everywhere, all over us in the state of New Jersey. And in general, it does. Because, you know, even in, like, because in North Carolina, like, there's still the, you can't use bathrooms the way that because they put a law in place. That affects a ton of people to no end. So that's so cool. You're a rock star. That's awesome. So I just want to also say, and I'm, is it okay if I bring where I'm setting up? Okay, perfect. Because we get into conversations about faith a lot with these podcasts, and it seems that this is a very open environment, clearly. What has that journey been like, though, inside of the Christian faith? By the way, just explain what your husband does.
Yeah, so we are Lutheran family. My husband, Rebecca's dad, is a Lutheran pastor. And so we're actually recording this at our church because it's a lot quieter than my house with yes. Rebecca's little siblings. So, yeah, I mean, Rebecca can talk a little bit to what faith has been like for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's a curious one for everybody, and there's lots of different things inside of that.
Yeah. So, because my dad is the pastor, I didn't have to talk, well, me and my parents didn't have to talk to the pastor or anything, because he is my parent.
Yeah.
But as people in church, we began to know, they just didn't think of me as not a girl, because they always saw that I was gender nonconforming, and that I was dressing in pink and purple, and they just thought it was what I was supposed to be.
Yeah, I think really seeing Rebecca and seeing her go from, like, I always tell this one story about the person the weekend she showed up the first time as Rebecca at church, and someone came up to my husband and was like, I don't understand this whole transgender thing. And we were like, uh-oh. And he was like, but she used to hide behind you and refuse to say hi to me on a Sunday morning. And today she ran up to me, twirled in her dress, and gave me a high five. What more is there to know? And that's pretty cool. So completely sums up our experience at church. Not everybody gets it. Not everybody is out there crusading for trans rights by any stretch.
Right.
But they see Rebecca. They see her joy and her happiness and her health and realize that this is who she is and this is who God made her to be.
Truth, 100%. Do you feel, because a lot's happened for you, obviously, not just transitioning, but I mean, like, socially.
Yeah.
A lot is going on for you, which is how I got connected to you. Through Garden State Equality.
Yeah, no, we probably shouldn't talk about that. But, she can talk about church stuff. I mean, you've done some advocacy within church.
Yeah.
June in Texas, yeah.
Okay. So
in Texas.
Yeah. Texas.
That's where my husband's from. Love it.
So last summer I went to Texas to speak in front of high schoolers at the ELCA youth gathering.
What's ELCA?
So that's our broader denomination. It's the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
That's
it's our big church.
A mouthful.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the theme was This Changes Everything, and it was about how things in people's lives changed how they lived. And so I talked about hope and how I can spread hope for other people, and we had a lot of hope during my journey. So I spoke in front of the 31,000 high school kids.
I mean, were you nervous?
Or
were you excited?
I was excited because I already knew my lines because I memorized them. And I was a little nervous because there was all the people.
That's a lot of people. Most people don't ever get up in front of 31,000 people anywhere and speak on behalf of something that's true. In an evangelical type of environment. Just want to make that clear to people that are listening, because there's also the radical groups. That's what I think people get confused with. It's like, yes, the radical groups make the front page news because they're the radical groups. But you know what also makes the front page news is when someone like you speaks in front of 31,000 people. You know, that's going to weigh out anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and what was the response from other youth? Like, what did you hear?
My mom, so she told me about stories from the chaperones who were in charge of a group of students, were telling my mom on her social media about, like, how kids in their group were, like, they understood that it was okay and it wasn't fake. And, like, some kids, they came out after I spoke, and I thought that was really cool.
Oh, cool. Great. I mean, that's the inspiration does wonders. And sometimes you might not even know what you're doing with the work that you're doing, obviously, because it's vast. But when you can, and you know the impact, and someone tells you the impact, you're like, all right, I got to keep going.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel pressure?
Not really.
Okay, good. I mean, you seem to have a really grounded environment, which is really important, and a lot of people don't have that. But that's really cool, that 31,000 people. That's in Texas. I mean, that is a lot. Like, you just have to think of those words, you know, like 31,000 people in the evangelical conference. It sounds like a conference.
Yeah, it was the National Youth Gathering. So kids came from all over the country, and it was the first time an openly transgender person had ever spoken at this event.
Right.
And so just to make history in that way and say the church is lifting up this young transgender girl and the message she's bringing just sent massive ripples of hope out to people gathered there and way beyond into the church, because our church is really trying to do this work and be a safer and more welcoming and affirming place that truly celebrates queer people for their full identities created in the image of God.
Right.
And so getting that message out far and wide when there are those really scary front page messages from other faith groups is really important.
Do you think it's easier because then you're a white girl?
Probably, because I know that there's a lot of racism, and that if I wasn't, like, a white girl, I could have had way more pushback than I have today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I also want to make it clear that you are representing a great community, regardless of the color of your skin, and if it takes you to do that in front of 31,000 people, then that's... I mean, people need to be okay with that. And there aren't people that are going to be okay with that. They're just not. I mean, that's just how society works as a whole. But who cares?
Yeah.
You're doing it. So it's really important. With that being said, I talk about the word queer a lot. It's a word that comes up, obviously. I'm embracing it. It wasn't something that people embraced a long time ago because people use it not in a very nice way. Do you bring up the word queer? Anyone brought up the word queer to you? And do you talk about the word queer? And do you use the word queer?
Me and my mom, we do use the word queer sometimes in our speaking because it helps explain and talk about the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm. So I think the word queer is so important because it helps those people that don't know
Yeah, well, and there's so many ways to identify in
our
the
alphabet, LGBTQIWTWZ.
There's all the alphabet letters, which can be really overwhelming to people.
Absolutely. It's overwhelming to me.
Exactly. And it's great that you have all those letters. Like, there's more to just, you're not just trans, you're not just this, you know?
Right.
And so to be able to have that without having to be like, I am this, 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 and this. Yeah. Sometimes, like, introduction-wise, it's just a lot easier to be like, I'm here and I'm queer.
Right. Get used to it.
Exactly.
That's such a, we're here, we're queer, get used to it.
Exactly.
So do you plan on, I don't know what your schedule is, but do you plan on attending Asbury Park Pride or New York City Pride is World Pride this year?
I spoke at New York City Pride.
Cool.
At the rally.
At the rally.
So she hasn't been in for the march.
Parade is so long. Oh my God. If you ever do the parade, it's such a great experience because like when you pull up to Stonewall and that street, Christopher Street, it's so amazing. Mm-hmm. However, it takes hours for you to get there. I mean, you sit and wait for 2 to 3 hours to get in the parade. And then when you're in the parade, it probably takes you about 3 hours to get not very far.
Yeah.
But you stop so much for the traffic. It's such an interesting experience. So this will be my third one. But it's better being on a float than absolutely walking. I mean, because you are walking for like 4 hours. And you're only going, supposedly it's not ending down on Christopher. Someone said it's not ending in Christopher Street this year. Oh, it's starting from a different place because they're going to do something different. But so you spoke. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people to speak in front of.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of people to speak in front of.
Yeah, the Pride rally was really neat. Yeah.
Have you spoken in Asbury?
No, she spoke at a couple of rallies in response to things. So the first thing she ever did was in response to when the Trump administration rescinded the guidelines for trans students in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a rally in Jersey City, and that was the first time it was funny. I reached out and was like, hey, do you need a speaker? And they were like, yeah, sure, you and Rebecca can speak. And I was like, wait, what? And like, I had never even considered her doing this. But so I offered it to her and she was like, absolutely. And from there, it's kind of taken off.
When you go about writing something or have the idea of like speaking somewhere, or someone asks you to speak somewhere, do you prepare yourself first and then go over with Mom?
Yeah. So it depends on when or like where it is. So, like, if we don't have that much time, my mom sometimes uses my other speeches and uses things from them. And then I go over it, change some wording, and make it my own. But other times when it's for, like, bigger places or I have more time to plan something, I write down some ideas and my mom shapes it into
teamwork.
I mean, yeah.
But it's got to be her words. Like,
yeah,
everybody's always. So it's fun to see what she writes. Sometimes I'll give some, like, questions to think about or whatever. And then she always, like, you can tell if I've done too much because she's like, no, Mom, this is not me anymore. And she'll take it back and fix it entirely. Or so it's always her voice, just with some support.
Are you on social media? Have you allowed that yet?
So she's got an Instagram handle.
Oh, you do have an Instagram handle. You can say it on here.
Yeah, go ahead.
At The Real Rebecca.
And it's a team work because she gets a lot of hate there at times, and so I supervise it all. And so
yeah, because you can limit those comments too, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so I just go through and weed through comments and all that jazz. But yeah, she's got some 10,000 followers at this point,
awesome.
So she's growing. She's also on Facebook as Rebecca Brizaha.
How do you feel you gained those 10,000 followers? Was it because of all the work that you were just starting to do?
Yeah, I think it is because of that, and also just because I'm such a young person, like, who already knows who they are.
Yeah. I mean, that must be, people, that's, this is also why I'm doing this, because people throw the feedback, the negative feedback at, well, you're young, you don't know anything, and blah, blah, blah. Well, the fact is, adults have more junk in the way, kids do not, and so to have the clarity and the space to allow yourself to actually be who you are is a lot easier when you're younger than when you are older and you have all those fun little stories and the journey that you have gone on. Regardless, you'll have that too, no matter what, because you'll eventually get into a relationship maybe or anything something like that. Or if you, whatever you pick for a career or whatever it is, you'll have a journey. So, but that's cool. I mean, I think that's a great thing, and you should have that many followers, and people should know what you're doing and stand behind you. Love that you know who you are. It's just it's inspirational to me as an adult, and definitely, obviously, to a bunch of kids that will eventually hear this. So, speaking of, good segue, where do you see yourself in 5 years? What is that, 11, 12, 12 13, 14, 15, 16? You'll be 16, 17. driving. That's junior, sophomore, junior year-ish?
Yeah, junior, I think.
Junior?
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to be an author when I grow up, so I would like to have some sort of thing started for that.
You like writing?
Yeah, I love writing. Mm-hmm. And reading. Mm-hmm.
That's good. It's fundamental. You like to write, you like to read. Do you write short stories, or do you write just, like, anything that comes to mind?
I usually write things, like, for school. Whenever they tell me to write things, I go above and beyond. We just did this thing called NaNoWriMo Junior. So it's National Novel Writing Month in November. And so our class goal for individuals was to get 5,000 words on a story that you're writing. So right
give now... Give 5,000 words or get 5,000 words on paper?
Get 5,000 words on a Google Doc. And so I started...
Sorry, they don't use paper anymore.
How old school of you.
Sorry. Paper and pen and paper. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I started my story, and I think I have, like, 7,000 words.
Oh, you do go above and beyond.
Yeah, I want to keep going and get to, like, 35,000 words.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And what kind of story is it?
Well, yeah, what's...
So, I love fiction, so I'm writing a fiction story, and it's about a girl who's going into who's going into eighth grade, and so the president, he's the bad guy, and so he is mutating all these people into robots, war robots, and so the girl, her father, who she doesn't know who her father is, it can mutate DNA to make you have superpowers. So she was one of his test subjects, and there's always a downside to the switch. So hers was after she did her, like, big thing and defeated the last thing that happened, everybody forgot about her, and so now she's, like, starting over.
Cool. That's great. I wish I had known you were right. I would love for you to read something. Do you have anything you can pull up?
I'm not sure. No. Yes.
I don't think so.
I didn't know. I would have had you read something.
Yeah, there's a non-binary character in what she's writing too. Which
I love. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Great. I love that the president's well.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have exactly. stuff to pull from. So.
All the staff is evil.
Well, is there, like, one good person in there?
Yes.
You know, that's always, like, one.
Yeah. The girl who can go through walls turns good.
What's the president's name?
I don't know yet.
I can give you a...
I have an idea.
Teen fiction, so I can't. That's cool. I love that. Just your school... I know you guys don't have a gay-straight alliance in the school, but do you have anything... For LGBTQ, anything in the school?
No.
Posters even?
Nope.
Nothing?
Well, there was one poster. It was about...
Or safe stickers.
It was about a thing in West Milford, I think.
Yeah, a support group that was starting up. So there was posters around for that.
And one of the guidance counselors has a rainbow necklace.
Lanyard, yeah.
Lanyard.
What's it like around Vernon anyways? Because technically you're in country.
Yeah. So it's a conservative part of the state. Like, we're in Sussex County. Mm-hmm. It is rural and conservative. I mean, and that being said, like, we've seen once people understand, like, they are very conservative politically, they're very conservative socially, but once they've met and got to know Rebecca, they've been really great. And so it's in that combination. I mean, I'm sure there are people in town that are not okay with it, sure. or that know of us or whatever, but that generally seeing her and getting to know her, because she's a pretty cool kid, has outweighed whatever kind of, like, oh, I thought this, this, and this about it. Now, it doesn't mean that they have changed politically on anything, or even socially, or they may, you know, say, but, like, when it comes to her, they've been good. And so, it's...
respectful.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine. Has anything happened in the church? Can you talk about that?
No, well, to my knowledge, nothing has happened in the church. Folks have been, no, people were really positive. Again, I'm sure, I think when it comes to our advocacy, it can make people uncomfortable just because we are so out there and so loud and so,
Well, you're in a Lutheran church and you have a gender neutral bathroom.
Yes. I mean, come yeah.
And did you hear that, everybody?
But it brings, I mean, it brings hate our way. And so when the church is getting phone calls or posts on our Facebook wall or emails or mail that is threatening and telling us, you know, we're all going to hell or whatever, it's upsetting. And so people, I think, automatically want to be like, could you please be quieter? Could you please not do that? And so part of what we do is say no, because we have, like you said, so much privilege. Like, she is this white passing girl and has a supportive family and a supportive community, even though we are in this rural conservative place. So we believe we have to use that privilege to tell our story and to make the world safer for those that don't, and then help amplify those voices that need to be heard as well.
Right. Yeah. No, it's a, so it's true. All of that. I mean, it's so amazing. I just think it's so cool. And I think if you could tell everybody, if you could send a message to them in regards to just being yourself, what would that be?
I would say, just be yourself, and there's always hope. You have some kind of pushback, you can always talk to somebody about it and then educate people, and that will change people's perspectives on everything.
It certainly will. For more information on what Rebecca's doing, you can follow her on Instagram @TheRealRebecca. I'm your host, Anthony Giorgio, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right.